This is Corner Pillars, a podcast where we share life's experiences in view of God's greater story. We're your hosts, Christy,
Kimberly,
and I'm Vicki.
The idea of Corner Pillars comes from Psalm 144:12, where David prays that God would make our daughters like corner pillars fashioned for a palace. As daughters of the King, it's our desire to be corner pillars, becoming women of substance and beauty, where our lives put God's story on display.
And today we're going to talk about identity. You know, we live in a time when identity seems to be everything in pop culture. In fact, it's become so important that some people have even suffered emotional breakdowns when people have misunderstood the identity that they've chosen. But rather than going into all of that today, I'd rather talk about what we can trust about identity. What is it, and why is it so important to us? You know, there are many starting points for this discussion, and I think as Christians, the most common approach we take is to start with our identity in Christ, and that's good for certain. But I would like to go back and look at identity in its original form. I'd like to go all the way back to creation when we talk about identity. How does that sound today?
Yeah, great place to start. Because like you said, a lot of times we start as believers in kind of a New Testament sense of our identity, but we have to go back to the larger story.
Yeah.
That there was an original identity given to all human beings.
Yes.
Not just Christians.
Yes.
All human beings were made in the image of God.
Yeah. And I think we can tell a larger story about all of mankind if we start where God started, which was the point of creation, and then move forward from there. And we'll talk about our identity in Christ as well, which is our most secure and most permanent identity.
That sounds great.
Good. But first, let's go back. So there's a Latin term that has really caught my heart this past year, and it's Imago Dei. And that's a Latin term that was coined by early church father Thomas Aquinas. And he got it from Genesis 1:27, where it says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." So we need to go back to the beginning in any conversation when we talk about identity. You know, we want to see what did God have in mind, you know, when he created us? What did he do this for? The reason is that although every Christian is secure in their identity in Christ, this identity does not apply to those who are yet to know Christ. And so, you know, in our confusion and sometimes desperate search for identity, we need to know, all of us, that we are inherently made in God's image, that we're primarily his from the very beginning. And that applies to all of us, whether we've come to Christ or whether we've not yet come to Christ.
Right. And if we go back to that original designer purpose, then that answers a lot of questions. So instead of me having to carve out my own identity, which is what our culture tells us to do, you have to figure out who you are and you have to carve out your own identity. That's actually a very heavy burden that we are foisting on people to carry. And we think that's freedom, but that's actually oppression.
That is
like overwhelming. And I think we kind of implode over the weight of that. It's too heavy of a burden to carry.
Yeah.
And in the original Hebrew, the word imago Dei, or the idea of being made in the image, I should use that, being made in the image of God, has to do with like actual tangible representations.
Yeah.
So three-dimensional objects, a relief, where, you know, you can actually like feel the contours.
Yeah.
And so if we're made in the image of God, this three-dimensional object that represents an immaterial reality, that's being made in the image of God. So we are God's representatives. So we're like, God, why don't you just show up? He's like, I am. I'm showing up through you.
Yes. I'm right there.
Yes.
Yeah. And I want to display who I am through you. That was my original design.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Now, so that's an identity that we have. And if we will, you know, come back to that, it's overwhelming in that sense. And I say, I can't do that. No, you can't do that on your own.
Yeah.
That's why you need me. I need to be connected back to the source of who I was. I was created in the image of God.
And I don't know if this is something you wanted to touch on later, but I know there's a lot of people that are really frustrated in a seeming lack of purpose. Mm-hmm. If we go back and realize who are we and what are we designed to do, what were we made to do, that gives our lives so much purpose because we don't have to go out and find something that we can go and do. And what am I made to do? Well, you're made to glorify the God that you look like, that you were made to be like, so that when other people see you, they see him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's actually such a beautiful role that God gave to us, right? As human beings. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful role. We were made to image who he is and what he does and what he's like. I mean, what a privilege. I mean, that takes it from, Christy, you talked about like how heavy that is if we're trying to figure that all out and from ourselves. But when we look at what God has called us to, it's like, wow, you've called me heavenward. You've called me onward. You've called me to something greater. And that's his will for us. Like, that's what he wants. And that privilege is really, it's beyond description. And it's so loving and it's so good of him. And it's just a beautiful story.
Mm-hmm. And it alleviates the heavy, I have to do this on my own. I have to figure it all out. It's like, no, he's inviting me to find my identity in him.
Yeah.
And that alleviates the burden of having to carve out my own identity on my own terms.
Yeah.
And when I try to find my own identity and work against his ultimate purpose for my life, I end up being frustrated, but it's a frustration of my own making. Mm-hmm. If I would just go back to what I was truly designed for, I would find out that that is something that I then find satisfaction in as well.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a message I would really like to spread because I do feel like our world is out there on a search for this identity, not realizing that they'll never come to rest with it. They'll never find a firm place to stand until they go back to the very purpose for which we were created. I'm going to tell a story that happened a few years ago, and maybe you all have some stories to share too. But it was one morning early in the day, maybe between 7:30 and 7:45, and I happened to hop on the internet, and a young man I know, he was probably, I don't know, 15 or 16 at the time, was on one of those, I think it was a Facebook Live. It's been a few years ago, so back when kids were still on Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
He got on Facebook, and he was imitating a sexual act on Facebook. Now, I know this kid. He was a good friend of one of my daughters, and I know that he's a believer in Jesus, and I know that he's a kid that represents Christ in the community.
Hmm.
And I thought, no, that's not who you are. Well, I know the kid well enough that I have his phone number. So I got on my phone and I texted him and I said, so-and-so, that is not who you are.
Hmm.
And immediately he saw it, he took it down, and he texted me back, I am so sorry. You are so right. That is not who I am. That's not who I represent. I shouldn't have been doing that. Well, the story is not about me correcting him or him. The story is not as much about behavior, right, as it is about him remembering, that's not who I am. Mm-hmm. I belong to Christ, and I represent him. And Jesus would never do what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So
that reminds me of an adage that I've heard in terms of helping people to be formed in Christ. Sometimes we want them to behave a certain way.
Yeah.
But we have to help them to believe certain things about who they are.
Yes.
And belong to Jesus in an experiential way, and then the behavior follows.
Yeah.
So the adage is believe, belong, behave. And if we get it out of order, then it creates all sorts of crazy making.
Chaos.
In our, yes, in our formation, our discipleship. So believe, belong, behave. And that's, it's a longer journey.
Yeah.
To learn how to believe the right things about who we are. That takes some discipline to go through God's word and recognize who we are, what he says about who we are. And then I have to go from just believing those things to actually experiencing the reality of it and belonging to him.
Yeah.
And that takes time as well to build up that sense of trust that what he says is actually true.
Yeah.
And I feel safe with God. And I want to find my identity in him. And then when that is settled in different areas of our lives, because it's a layer sort of thing, it doesn't all happen in one fell swoop. But when those things get settled, our behavior reflects who we believe we are and to whom we belong.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that lie can come up from the enemy, too, that we sometimes believe that we are someone else than other than who we are.
Yeah.
We can get caught in the fact that we may be a believer and be have sin that maybe even we've been forgiven of, and yet we have an enemy that says that's who you are.
Yeah,
and
you'll
we have
never
to,
change.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We have to combat the fact that we are not our biggest sin. Mm-hmm. We don't carry around a scarlet letter on us that says this is my identity.
Yeah.
We carry around with us our very God that lives within us, and he is our identity. And we have to say, he sees me like that. He doesn't see me as my sin anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The very reason that Jesus came, right?
Absolutely.
You know, we were created to perfectly image God, but because of the fall, mankind sinned, and we marred that identity. It's like we bear the scars of that sin that now travels around in each of us. And so it's not until we come to Christ and we start to know him and learn about him and understand his part in our lives that we come to realize, oh, I'm someone different now. I can now look back to God's original design for mankind and that idea of imprinting, as you said, you know, that this is what God intended for me to be. And we can see our intended purpose and begin to be renewed by God into something that once again is there to glorify who he is.
Yeah. And I think of a great, kind of a longer quote from Dallas Willard. So hang with me here, because I think it totally piggybacks on what you were just saying, Vicki.
Yeah.
He says, one of the greatest weaknesses in our teaching and leadership today is that we spend so much time trying to get people to do things that good people are supposed to do without changing what they really believe. And when he talks about belief, he's not just talking about head knowledge.
Yeah.
He's talking about experiential belief, like we know that we know that we know sort of belief. And then he goes on to say, it doesn't succeed very well. And that is the open secret of church life. We need to concentrate on changing the minds of those we would reach and serve. But in our culture, there is a severe illusion about faith or belief. It is one that has been produced by centuries of people professing as a cultural identification to believe things they do not really believe at all. Thus, there arises the misunderstanding that human life is not really governed by belief. This is a disastrous error. We often speak of people not living up to their faith, just like the story that you shared, that he wasn't living up to his faith. Well, the cases in which we say this are not really cases of people behaving otherwise than they believe. They are cases in which genuine beliefs are made obvious by what people do. We always live up to our beliefs, or down to them, as the case may be. Nothing else is possible.
Christy, this reminds me of the teabag effect. It's the whole idea, you've probably heard, that what happens when a teabag gets put into hot water is what's inside it comes out of it. Mm-hmm. And it's often said that when we get put in hot water, what comes out of our lives is what is inside of us. Mm-hmm. So no, our lives and what comes out on a day-to-day basis is what we truly believe. And that flows out of us. It flows out of the words that we say. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm-hmm. It's all of those actions we take. It's the attitudes that we have. It's how we treat each other. It's all of those things within us that come out. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that we truly believe, mm-hmm. even if we sometimes say otherwise.
Right. Yeah. And if there is therefore now no condemnation, as Romans tells us, then I can take a look at the stuff that's coming out of my life,
yes.
that is mm-hmm. in contrast to what God says about me. And then I can confess and repent. And invite him to change my heart, change my belief, change how I'm perceiving my identity.
Yeah. I love the passage that comes right after the one you just mentioned in Romans that goes on to say that, you know, the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Mm-hmm. And so that continual returning of our mind to who I am, you know, in Christ, like who was I made to be and who am I now because of Christ? I haven't mm-hmm. done it perfectly, but he has done it perfectly. So as I prepared for mm-hmm. this podcast, I kind of nerded out a lot, okay?
Good for it.
I hope everybody can follow me with this for a little bit. But I just started, I've been dwelling in verses that talk about how Jesus is the image of God and then how we are also created as an image. So if it's okay, maybe this podcast is going to have quite a bit of scripture in it.
Yeah.
I hope it's okay that I read a little bit to you. But
it's
just such a beautiful picture of God leading us back gently to what he intended and also making a way for us to be who he intended again. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, we messed it up, but God is like, but no, mm-hmm. I'm going to lead you back.
Mm-hmm. It's restoration.
Here's a way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, restoration. So I'm going to start with Colossians 1, verses 15 to 20, and I just think this is a beautiful passage. It's about Jesus. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Man, a good study mm-hmm. of Colossians 1 sheds a lot of light on who we were created to be. Like Jesus is called the firstborn over mm-hmm. all creation, but we're behind him, right? Mm-hmm. We're right behind him. And mm-hmm.
I think it's like about the line leader.
Yeah, he's the line leader and we are filing behind mm-hmm. him. And I go back to, my mind always goes back to one of the first verses I ever memorized back in the day, Galatians 2:20. Mm,
yeah.
For I have been crucified with Christ. So I'm following him right down the line, right? I have been crucified with Christ and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live through faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Mm. So now who am I? I'm in Christ. My life is found in him. And he's the one who did it perfectly. The image of the invisible God. And then later in Colossians chapter 3, it says that our self is being renewed in the image of its creator. Wow. If we have come to Christ, mm-hmm. we are being renewed. That's an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. But what are we being renewed to? The image of our creator. Go back to Genesis 1, mm-hmm. the Imago Dei, the image of God. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking what was lost at the fall.
Yeah.
Through the first Adam.
Yeah.
Has been now made accessible.
Yeah.
Through the second Adam, which is the kind of Romans
yeah.
sort of terminology. And so what Christ did wasn't just forgive me of my sin. I mean, that would be enough. But he is restoring us back to mm-hmm. God's original design. So it's through his perfect life
yeah.
that now I have access to God the Father.
Yeah.
And I can have that be a reconciled relationship. I can belong to him. Mm-hmm. And because I belong to him, I can believe certain things about him and believe certain things about myself. And I can then have a character that can put him on display.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not on display in the sense of I do everything perfectly,
mm-hmm.
but it's on display in the sense of when I mess up, I know there's grace.
Yeah.
And when I do something wrong, I can confess that and I can go to people and I don't have to have the perception that I'm perfect because it's Christ's robe of righteousness yeah. that makes me perfect.
Amen.
And so then I can be vulnerable
yeah.
and let people know I did something wrong. I hurt you. I'm sorry. And I can confess things that otherwise I wouldn't want to confess because it's like I have to keep up appearances.
Yeah.
So God allows us in our relationship with him and unconditional love that he gives us to be able to come out of hiding. And that is a beautiful thing. I can take off my mask and just be real with other yeah. people.
Yeah.
Well, and going back to this original design, we all have value because we are created in the mm-hmm. image of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's every person on the planet, regardless whether they're a believer or not. Mm-hmm. And yet we cannot adequately really display who Christ is without Christ in us
mm-hmm.
until we come to know Jesus as our Savior, until he is mm-hmm. living within us. Then that's that reconciliation of the relationship between us and God. Mm-hmm. But then it also gives us the power to mm-hmm. be able to demonstrate more fully this identity that he's created mm-hmm. us with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
there's dignity and
Absolutely.
Respect and a sense of care, and we see people differently.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, because they're made in the image of God, just like we are.
Yeah.
And so now I don't have to one-up or that doesn't have to
absolutely.
Be a power struggle. Or,
it's not about I have value because you have less value. It's
yeah.
we're valuable because of who we were designed and created to yeah. be and reflect, not
yeah.
because of what I can do or the talents I have or mm-hmm. the abilities I have or the wealth I have or any other circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
It is I have inherent value because I am created in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can more fully do that as a believer in Christ
mm-hmm.
going forward to be able to display that to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's so very true. I'm thinking back to our last podcast where we talked about joy and how we find joy in that journey of walking with God and of learning to know Christ. And one of the things that is so great about God's invitation to us is that we get to go out and seek others to bring along in this mm-hmm. in this journey with us. And so I really love the passage in 2 Corinthians 5 that talks about us as ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
And if we think about bringing joy to people, the fact that we can go out and gather them and bring us with us, I just think that's such a beautiful concept. So I'm going to nerd out again. I'm going to read to you from the scriptures. I just think this is beautiful. Starting at 2 Corinthians 5:14, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. And all this is from God, who was reconciling us to himself through Christ, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God is making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, and get this, so that we mm-hmm. might become the righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. If you put that in different words, it's so that we can image mm-hmm. God. Mm. All this he did for us so that we can once again image him. How beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Looking back at where it says those who should live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. Yeah. Sometimes I think we struggle with, if I give up everything that is mine, we feel like there'll mm-hmm. be lack of fulfillment yes. in our lives.
Yes.
And yet, going down to verse 20, it says, therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors, and he makes his appeal to others through us.
Yeah.
And that goes back to, what were we designed for? Being able to fulfill our purpose when we actually die to ourselves and live to him, he allows us to be able to fulfill our purpose and actually gain true satisfaction.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. really true. And just pointing back again to our last podcast on joy. So yeah. if you haven't listened, go back and listen to that one. So, yeah, well, just some thoughts here. What is it like to be the Imago Dei, the image of God? You know, we have a brief picture in Genesis, mm-hmm. right? They walked with God and they had fellowship with him in the garden. He gave them dominion over the earth to be fruitful and to multiply. And God said that it was very good. Mm. So we've got that picture from early on, but I'll tell you what, the New Testament really mm-hmm. draws that out a
yeah,
lot
impacts
and,
it.
And paints a bigger picture of what it's like to be in the image of God. And it's all these passages that talked about being in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so my study of this topic has naturally led me to some of the scriptures about being in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a ton of those in Ephesians 1. And I don't want to read all of that to you, but I'm just going to throw some of those out. And if you ladies would like to comment on any of those, mm-hmm. just jump in, okay? So first of all, in Christ, okay, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I know redemption is a churchy word. Maybe one of you could mm-hmm. just throw out there, like, what does that churchy word mean anyway?
Yeah, from what I understand, it means to be bought back.
Mm-hmm.
So if you redeem a coupon,
yeah,
it's like you're wanting to get something back in place of that. And so what was lost at the fall,
yeah,
and it's marred and yes. it's all messed up and there's chaos in this world, it's all getting bought back.
Yeah.
And so, and we have the now and the not yet. Mm-hmm. So there's a certain amount of redemption that has taken place.
Yeah.
And so we have been bought back positionally,
mm-hmm.
but we will be bought back completely mm-hmm. at the culmination.
Yeah.
And so there's an anticipation of a fuller sort of redemption,
yeah.
but we have kind of the first fruits of that, or the kind of the anticipation.
Yeah.
We know that it has happened, but we know that there's a fuller sense of that to happen in the age to come.
Yeah. It's almost as if we are this sculpture, this vase that has been broken at the fall. And here at redemption, God picks up the pieces and glues them back together. And you can see the form of what it was intended to be.
Yeah.
And yet it's not fully going to be mm-hmm. looking like him completely until
yeah.
glory.
Mm-hmm. Until glory. Yeah. Wow. Something to look forward to. And speaking of glory, Ephesians 1 also says that we were chosen for the praise of his glory, to be holy and blameless. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think about that in terms of being a trophy of his grace.
Mm.
So it's not so much that I'm a trophy person,
mm-hmm.
but my life reflects that I'm this like trophy of his grace. So I'm a reflection of the kindness mm-hmm. of God and the grace of God and the generosity of God. So I've been chosen for the praise of his glory.
Yeah.
So my life then starts to reflect the dimensions of his character.
Yeah.
And those dimensions could never be on display if I wasn't so messed up.
Yeah.
Because look at how generous God is, and then he gets glory for the adequacy that is now my sufficiency. Yeah. So I'm insufficient, but his sufficiency gets put on display, and that gives him praise and glory.
I think this holiness and this blameless almost can sound intimidating at times, though, as though it is being holy and blameless is all up to me. And here God says, no, it's me in you that has called you to be holy. That is set apart. And that goes back to our value, going back to the beginning. I have set you apart to be valuable.
Yes.
And with me, I can help you to become that person. And it's about becoming more like Christ as we walk through this life with him.
Yeah. And it's a place of belonging.
Yes.
Holiness is not a doing.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. Holiness is a belonging to be set apart from where I used to find my identity.
Yes.
Yes.
To find my identity in Christ.
Yeah.
And that, so I'm set apart from the common or the ordinary.
Yes.
So I can be set apart to a person.
Yes.
And be in relationship with him. And my first loyalty is now to him and not to those other things that used to be my first priority. I think of another way of thinking about holy and that we're called to holiness is the idea of being special. So don't we all long to be special? I'm like, I want to be special. Sure. And we try to find that specialness in like using our talents and, you know, becoming the best and being known for something, like having a legacy. We want to be known for something and we want to stand out from the crowd. And so we want to be special. And that's what sin has done and kind of the marred imago Dei. We try to find being special in these horizontal ways. When God has said, no, I will make you special to me.
Yeah.
And then in that, now you're freed up to use your talents and the gifts that I've infused in you to put my holiness, my specialness on display. So when you're to the other idea of like being set apart is that you're unique. You know, so God is holy other. There's no one like him.
Yes.
That's the idea of holiness as well.
Yeah.
And so that to me is what is being special. He's unique. There's no one like him. No one compares to him. And so I think part of the Imago Dei in us is that we want to be special. But if we've been disconnected from God, we try to find that in horizontal ways. When we're reconnected to him, then we find our identity, our sense of being special, being known in him.
Yeah.
And then again, that frees us up
to
just enjoy life. Don't try to consume it for what it wasn't ever meant to be that to you. You can just enjoy the good gifts that he gives us.
Yeah. And circle back to Galatians 2:20, no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So there is that setting apart, like whatever I was trying to gain significance through, that's gone. But now I have significance in Christ, and that's permanent, and it's forever.
And that's far more significant than any significance I would try to find for myself.
It's far more significant. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So just going on through Ephesians 1 here, you know, what can be said about Jesus can now be said about us as believers. It goes on to say that we're marked with a seal guaranteeing our inheritance, and that's the Holy Spirit.
That's huge.
Which I think we're going to have a podcast about that soon sometime too. Yes. So that's great. Yeah. And then let's comment on this last one yet. It says we are his possession. Any thoughts on that? I've got one, but I'd love to hear from you if you have anything.
I think it goes back to wanting to belong. You know, we all want to be part of something bigger than ourselves, because I think ultimately we know in and of ourselves that as much as we might try to put ourselves out there, we're not all that big deal. And we want to belong and be part of something bigger than ourselves.
Yeah.
And here, you know, we are his possession. We are chosen. We are part of who he is. And he jumps in and really wants us. He desires us, even knowing what we know about ourselves, that we're not all that.
Yeah.
And yet he wants us to be his, to be loved, to be cherished, to be valued, called out for something with a special purpose.
Yeah. There's joy and peace in that, really.
Yeah. And you mentioned the word significance. So that's part of identity. Another part of identity is security. So we're all on a search for security and significance. And I think we are his possession.
Yes.
Highlights the security part.
Yeah.
Because if I belong to God, then I don't have to search for it in other places, that sense of security, mm-hmm. that again, it's not I'm enough, it's that he's enough. And if I belong to him, then he's the one who's going to open up doors. He's the one who's going to take care of me.
Yeah.
I don't have to operate with an orphan mentality. I operate with a Father God
yes.
mentality that has me covered.
Yeah.
So if I belong to him, he possesses me. There's a sense of safety
yeah.
in a very chaotic world.
Yeah. And it's a possession with love. I'll never forget mm-hmm. the first time that this idea really sunk in deep to my heart. It's been over 20 years ago now, but that old Casting Crowns song, it's I Am Yours. Mm-hmm. And I'll probably mess up the lyrics, but I'm going to say what really sunk in for me. It says, it's not because... Let me take it back for just a minute. You know, I knew that Jesus came and he died for our sins and God so loved the world and all that stuff was out there. But how does it come to me individually? You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I was already a believer mm-hmm. and I was already following God, but I still didn't feel this personal sense of God loving me.
Mm-hmm.
I was just one of millions that mm-hmm. he loved. But that song, it says it's not because of who I am. It's because of what he's
Absolutely.
Done. You know, it's not because of what I've done. It's because of who, and it says who you are, talking back to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says over and over, I'm yours. I'm yours. And I came to realize that the reason I wasn't understanding God's individual love for me was because I didn't realize, like, I'm his.
Mm-hmm.
He's chosen me.
Mm-hmm.
He's called me. He's brought him to mm-hmm. myself, and I'm his. And I'm telling you, when that finally mm-hmm. sunk into my heart, it was really life-changing mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I finally realized I wasn't just one of millions of people that God mm-hmm. loved because I was on the earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was because, no, he had called me to be his daughter. And there's a significance
mm-hmm.
and there's a security in knowing who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time, when I heard that, it sunk in that that's personal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a personal identity. And it made a difference for me.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
he wanted you, that he adopted you into mm-hmm. his family.
Yes.
And says, no longer are we enemies.
Yes.
But we are family and
yes.
we're together. And then he promises, I will never leave you, never forsake you. This is a permanent forever bond that mm-hmm. I have with you.
Wow. That's security right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we mess up.
Yeah.
And we think, oh, are you going to throw me away now?
Yeah.
And he's
yeah.
like, no. Because he didn't save me based on my good works.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not the economy of our relationship.
Right.
The economy
He's not
of
fickle.
Our,
he,
right, right.
Yeah.
yeah. The economy of our relationship is that he did it for me.
Yeah.
I think of somebody once said, you know, all other religions in the world are do something
yes.
to make
mm-hmm.
the deity happy.
Yeah.
Happy. And Christianity is different. Add yeah. two letters to do and you have the word done.
Done.
It's mm-hmm. done.
Yeah.
And now I have security. I have significance. And so as I journey with him, those are now opportunities to get to know him. And one thing, Vicki, you were talking about, like what the paradigm shift for you mm-hmm. that was so transformational
mm-hmm.
was that you knew that he knew you.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew that he loved you.
Yeah.
And generically
in
loves
a generic
everyone.
Sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
But the realization that kind of opens our hearts up to him is that he knows me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he knows me.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows us. That's already happening
mm-hmm.
in reality. But until I know that he knows me,
mm-hmm.
then I don't have that ultimate trust foundation
yeah.
solidified. And so God in his kindness and his amazing wisdom figures out a way to help solidify that reality
yeah.
for us as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so true. Ephesians 3:16-17 talks about how Christ dwells in our hearts through his spirit in our inner being. And I feel like that is part of that reassurance,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I belong to him. And how do I know? Well, Christ is dwelling in my inner heart. I'm gonna real quick. I'm gonna read Romans 8:28-30, because God has just been highlighting for me all the verses about His image, you know, and being like Him lately as I've spent time with Him, and sometimes we can look at a verse that we've looked at for decades, and the Holy Spirit just highlights something a little different because He's been teaching me. You know, He's been telling me and instructing me about this particular thing for a while. So I'm going to read this. And we know, starting Romans 8, starting at 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined, what? To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He may be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. Do you see it? The Imago Dei.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just love how God has tied our beginning to our end. It's not like, I mean, we talk about being new in Christ, and that is absolutely true, because we've come from this state of being sinful human beings, and we're going to a state where not only are we saved, but we're becoming more like Him. But what is that like? We're going back to the image that God wanted in the first place.
Restoration.
Restoration to what God has always had planned.
It's like full circle, coming back to, at the end, what He had intended at the beginning.
Absolutely.
Right. And that's why sanctification isn't a tack on, or becoming like Christ isn't like, oh, well, the people that are a little bit more intense about their relationship with God.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that's what being
that's
in a relationship
part
with God, it's the whole story of
the
what
process.
What is He wanting to do?
Yeah. And let's not forget that, because I do. I've been in many situations lately where people are concerned about what we know, which is good. We need to know who God is and all about Him. But they kind of skip the what we're becoming, and they go right to what we're doing, you know. And so we know something, so we do it. We know it, and we do it. But in the meantime, how is my heart being formed? You know, is my heart being formed to believe that if I just do these things, that God will love me more, that God will approve of me better? Do these things that I'm doing flow from who I am? Or you know what I mean? We just contend to bypass that step of sanctification, and yet it's part of the whole picture. I think even in Romans 6, where it talks about, you know, we were buried through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that we too may live a new life. And that's part of God's purpose for us, is not just to receive salvation and then one day look to glory, but to have a new life in Him while we yet live here on this earth.
And it goes on to say, for we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. That's freedom.
Right.
He is calling us in to freedom.
Yeah.
And if I don't know what my patterns or tendencies or mindsets are of the old self, so I can say that, no, that's dead.
Yeah.
That is not going to rule my life anymore.
Yes.
Then those things will still rule me.
Yes.
And I'll profess to believe things that I don't really believe, because there's a deeper belief that's going on kind of on an unconscious level.
Yeah.
And so, again, that's where it takes biblical community to help me identify these things and stories of people who have had those aha moments.
Yes.
And they recognize those false formulas or mindsets that have, you know, been formed in them and need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds.
And they're willing to say to me, Vicki, that's not who you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not just like, don't do that, or that stinks, but Vicki, that's not who you are.
Yeah. There's something more.
Yeah.
You're more than that.
It's the identity in Christ. And, and if we point each other back to that, man, we're walking faithfully with each other, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just in conclusion on this topic about identity, at least for today, you know, we're always going to be searching for identity until we find what we were created to be mm-hmm. and who we were created to be like. That's mankind's long search, you know, mm-hmm. until we figure that out. One of my favorite things actually is to look at other people and to see all the wonderful ways they image God. That's just a joy to my heart. You know, I'm encouraged. I love helping people see God's image in them and walking with them into all the many ways that they can grow into the image of God as well. You know, it's a joyful journey. And I encourage mm-hmm. us all to encourage that when we mm-hmm. see the image of God in each other, to call it out. Mm-hmm. To say, wow, Kimberly, I really saw you imaging God today, because that's an encouragement for us to mm-hmm. live into what God has already given us in Christ.
Mm-hmm. And to know that it makes a difference.
Yes.
And inspire us to continue.
Mm-hmm. And may you be inspired as you've listened to our podcast today. Thanks for joining us on the Corner Pillars podcast.